Thank you for listening to this podcast brought to you by the Center for Christian Music Studies at Baylor University. This podcast was recorded at the 2012 Alleluia Conference. For more information about Alleluia, visit our website where you will find conference dates and details, audio and video recordings, and a list of confirmed clinicians for next summer's event. For this information and more, visit us online at www.baylor.edu/alleluia.
I've been in the education part of music. I teach in the public school systems and have done that for 25 years. So I do, come on, here with us. I'll talk to both of you. I teach mainly high school is what my area has been, high school vocal. And I was married to a music minister, so kind of had the best of both worlds. It was a part of that ministry as well. My dad, this is my mom back here, my dad was a pastor as well. So kind of was, I was actually born in Fort Worth at the seminary there. So kind of just always just born right into the ministry and everything. So then I start teaching, and right now I'm going on my 11th year at Lexington High School, and I teach 7th through 12th grade vocal music. I have 160 in my vocal music program, and we're only, I don't know if y'all do A, B, or A, ABC schools here, but we're just a C school, which is like, we have, how many do you think you have in the town? 5,000?
Probably about 5,000.
Yeah, we're talking small, it's a small town. And so we have I have about in my vocal over, probably 15% of school comes to vocal music as an elective, and they take it, which is really cool. And it's a town that likes to sing. And so now I also, as my bivocational position, I lead praise and worship at the Lexington First Baptist Church, which is wonderfully right now, right across the street from where I teach high school. So they built a new high school. So I kind of that's where I do both. When I started there 10 years ago, I started the school first, and then they asked me just to kind of fill in at the church. They had lost their music minister, and so they asked me just to come in. Well, they put a committee, Baptists are a little different. They put those search committees together, and they go searching for their pastor or whoever, music ministers. So they asked me just to fill in. I said, sure, not a problem. And so within a couple of months, they had approximately about 12 in their choir, and they wouldn't sing on most Sundays. I mean, they would go ahead and rehearse on Wednesday nights, but not always sing, and so there weren't many in a real regular routine of anything. So they asked me if I'd just kind of step in, and I said, sure. So we started, and within about a couple of months, we went up to 20, and then we continued to grow. We now run 45 to 55 in the choir. On a good day, 75. Oh, you know, it depends if we're doing a Christmas or whatever. I call it an AB choir, because we really couldn't fit as many that's on roll on the stage of our church, because there's not enough room. So now, in this little church that we have, it's kind of like, I consider it like a large church in a really small town, but like I said, we run about 45 in the choir regularly, and we have a praise band, and my mom is my pianist, and she works me at school and at church, so I'm really blessed. We kind of work well together. And then we have, a keyboard, we have drums, we have, you know, the bass guitar, the electric guitar, all that stuff. So, and then they play every Sunday. Then I have four praise teams, and they rotate. They sing like the first Sunday of the month. And then we have I have a group called New Life, which is an adult group of mixed men and women who sing once a month. And I have a women's group called Rejoice that sings once a month. So it kind of exploded within 10 years to not just a part-time job, but a really big full-time job, because, you know, I don't know, when you went into your position, did they make you a job description of what you would do as your job?
Sort of.
Okay, so what did they tell you? What were some things they gave you?
They gave me a piece of paper, and they indicated that they wanted me to run the choir that was already there, mm-hmm. and to consider the possibility of starting up a couple of other ensembles, and to lead the music program. But before I got there, they had never had a music director. It had a volunteer choir director, mm-hmm. and then they occasionally had a parish assistant for worship. Occasionally, they didn't always. And so it's kind of been a position that has had to evolve into what I wanted it to be.
Yeah, so you kind of had some give and take on that. didn't you, what you wanted for it to do. Now, so what is your, what do you do now in your job description? Like, what do you do?
I direct the adult choir. I direct the bell choir. I direct the children's choir. I select all of the music for worship. I coordinate with any soloists and vocal groups that want to perform, or any instrumental groups that want to perform.
Okay. Now, do you do choir rehearsal?
Yeah, I do the choir rehearsal.
When do you do that?
Wednesday nights.
Okay, so you have a choir rehearsal. What's your time frame on those rehearsals?
A choir rehearsal is an hour. That was the what they started with. I would like it to expand, because an hour is hard when you're trying to put together a Christmas program and music for it.
Yeah.
But we don't sing every Sunday. We sing, normally we sing every other Sunday. That's another thing I changed for them. They used to sing in one service this Sunday and a different service the next Sunday. So they'd sing the same piece twice.
Oh, so they could do two.
And so
two weeks
they sang almost every Sunday, but they sang only two pieces a month. And so I instead said, why don't we sing two pieces a month in both services and then have two Sundays that
you don't sing. Yeah.
And that gave an opportunity for the bell choir and the children's choir. And
Now, when do you rehearse the bell choir?
Bell choir right now rehearses on Thursday nights. I think they may want to move to Monday, so we've got to figure that out.
Well, it works. And do you teach the children's choir as well?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, when do you have that?
I have it about 6:30 on Wednesday nights. So I have 6:30 choir with them for just half an hour, and then 7:30 choir with the adults.
Okay. And then do you have one service on Sunday, or do you have
two?
You have two. And what's your hours on those?
8:15 and 10:45.
Very good. And then you have, do you have Sunday school in between? That's what we do ours too. That's a long Sunday. I don't know about you, but it makes for a very long day for me. We have to be there. My team meets me there at 7:45, and then but I'm there at 7:30, and then we do a setup before we, you know, we have praise team rehearsal on Wednesday nights, and then I go into choir rehearsal. At the same time I'm having praise team rehearsal, I have a children's choir coordinator, so my children's choirs are rehearsing at the same time. So as I do praise team, and then we put it all together on Sunday mornings, and then we have Sunday school, which is kind of like you. Okay, so you kind of had a leeway of how do you work well, how to work with your pastor. Are you able to give suggestions, or, you know, or how does that work? How's that
there relationship? There are really great things about our relationship, and they're really challenging things. He has a documented verifiable magnesium deficiency, which means that he forgets a lot.
Oh, wow. A lot. Cause that. Yeah.
And so we will have conversations and make decisions, and
he doesn't remember.
Then he goes.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow. You know what's good about that, or a good way to help with that, I'm going to keep walking into this thing, is documentation.
Yes.
Writing down, and since, you know, he knows he has this, it's good to write that down and say, you know, you'll have that in a hard copy. Go back now, Pastor. You know, on this day, we talked about this, and, you know, give date and time and where. I mean, try to document as much as you can. My brother's real big on documentation, so he said, really document. So people, especially important conversations or things that are really pertinent to your ministry as well. So I found this little thing, and I don't know if you've ever heard it. Let me get to it. My iPad here. I found this kind of job description. When I came into my job description, or my job, they had never had a part-time. I mean, a bivocational, never. It was always been full-time, and so they had a full-time music. And so, or a lot of positions, I don't know, in Oklahoma have been music and youth combos, which are crazy. Well, yeah, really strange combos. And they had some music and youth, but then they went full-time music and full-time youth. But when I came on, it came part-time. But I really have never even had in my hand a job description about what I'm supposed to do. I don't have when I'm supposed to have vacation or time frames, but I mean, I put many, many hours in anyway. And so, but I found this cool thing on the internet, which I want to share with you. This is a pastor's job description. This is comical, okay. It says, able to leap tall buildings in single bound, more powerful than a locomotive, faster than a speeding bullet, walks on water, and gives policies to God. Now, that's your pastor's job description. Now, the minister of music, it says, leap short buildings with a running start, almost as powerful as a switch engine, faster than a speeding BB, talks with God if special request is approved, and then swims well, walks on water if he knows where the stumps are, and is occasionally dressed by God. So that's your music minister. Now, I love this. Minister of Youth. It says, runs into small buildings, recognizes locomotives 2 out of 3 times, uses a squirt gun, knows how to use a water fountain, and mumbles to himself a lot of times. So do you work with it? Do you have other staff on your church?
Yeah.
So who do you have with you?
We have a full-time she's director, she's the parish assistant for education, youth, and family.
Okay.
Which is an unusual category. Then we have a parish assistant for congregational life and a parish assistant for outreach.
Okay.
And then we have and those two positions are 10-hour week positions, mm-hmm. which I just think is crazy. And then we have a secretary who's a 30-hour week position.
30-hour week position. Now, you don't have any youth or, did you say youth?
Education, youth, and family.
Family, handles, okay, youth and family, yeah.
She handles all the little bitties, like K through 12 is all her responsibility. Actually,
wow.
I would say birth through 12 birth is all her 12. Responsibility. And then she handles some of the adult education stuff as well.
Wow. Wow, that's a lot.
We have a small staff for the side of our church.
Yeah,
so
what are your?
Our membership's about 600.
Okay.
We've got 100 giving units, which I think is a little bit more indicative of, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We have about 200 on worship on Sunday mornings.
200. Okay. Then how many, I've got to ask, do you run your choir?
Well, that's a hard question to answer. It varies. I think
uh-huh.
you know that when you're.
Yeah.
When I came on, there were about 15, and at our best, we were up to right at 25, 30, and now I think we're dropping a little bit more.
And you will. I mean, it's just like, it's like a wave constantly. You know, we did an Easter drama pageant. I did a huge Easter, and we sang with 100, you know, and then within a month, we were back down to struggling with 30, maybe, I mean, because they were so tired, but I mean, you had these huge swells of attendance and things. And so let me get to my little things here. Okay, so what the thing that Tim wanted me to talk about is how to thrive and survive in these kind of crazy roles that we do. So I think just between the two of us, I can kind of tell you how I do a week's planning. And then now how do you, and we can talk about where you find your music. Do you have a music library? Do you have a...
We have a music library. We've got about 400 titles.
Okay.
But we don't have enough copies of all 400 titles to.
That's what's going on. And see, I ran it the first couple of years.
And we've got the church has an interesting history. So at one point they had a bigger choir with more of the real talent in the community. You know
mm-hmm.
how you have like 15 or 20 people in the community that
yeah,
are really, really the
yeah,
musical
yeah.
professionals in the community. And we had several of those attending our church, and so some of them quite a bit of the music. Is beyond the range
mm-hmm.
of, especially my soprano section. My soprano section, I've got one girl, she's a college student, and when she's there, she can hit those A's, and sometimes even those B's, and it's awesome, but the rest of my sopranos, they really struggle with those F's. And
that's your normal choir, you know?
Yeah, and so you kind of got to
balance for that, yeah.
Find out, I mean, you can't,
yeah.
You can't pull out those great pieces that.
Yeah, and so do you have a like you get some music from here? So see, that's a really great thing here at this conference. I thought like, they do music sessions where you can read
mm-hmm.
and you can hear music coming out. Or you can go back through what you're doing and just modify if you have to do some modification.
Right.
And now, do you have other music ministers that you can kind of tap to that are in your area?
Yes.
And that kind of helps
I came
a lot.
From Ann and Methodist Church, and they've got a 1,500 title library, much
yeah.
much bigger than mine.
Yeah.
And when I was there, I had started a women's choir, and so I was working very closely with the director of music. And
good.
You know, I was.
So you know some things.
Yeah, I picked up a few things by doing that, and I knew their library pretty well because I had gone through and tried to find all the women's pieces. You know how hard that is.
Yes.
Trying to, you just lose so much selection
yeah.
if you're not doing SAT.
I know.
It's
hard. It's hard to find good writing, part writing for it.
And the pianist there is really, really helpful, and they have bell choirs, and so our bell choir had been disbanded for 10 years when I came on, so we had to rebuild everything, which was a real challenge.
Yeah.
They had the bells on loan to another church. They had the bells back, and they get them cleaned and
repaired. Yeah,
and
well, seeing
find
you know,
all of our
bells were
equipment.
Real big in Oklahoma for a while. I mean, the handbell choir was just really big, and then it kind of died. It's kind of died out. But I tell you, those people love to play. You can really get a wonderful ministry going through that. Well, okay, so you've got I think like several big things that I do, but now as your position, mine's a little different, which is kind of a blessing for me because being a teacher, I have my summers that I'm down. And so during the summer times when I really put my world in line and I have a Kimke's music reading session that I go to that's in Texas actually, and it's wonderful, and it's a whole week. Or actually, it was 3 days, wasn't it? They've shortened it down. And so all you do is go and start at 8:30 in the morning, and you read music all day long. And it's wonderful. It was at Dallas. It wasn't that far. But it's, you know, I find new music, and I know the groups I'm looking for. So it's wonderful to get, that information for that. And then I have a nice budget with my church. They give me a gracious budget. And so I'm able to buy. And so during that time, man, I cover all my music. I get all of my music for my church. And another thing I do is, and I don't know if you do, but I schedule, because it depends on your job, but with music, with teaching in the schools, I mean, we perform. I have a show choir who travels nationally and performs, and then we sing for basketball games at night. And so my schedule is very hectic. But during the summer, my main goal is, we sing every Sunday, is I assign a song every Sunday. And so I go ahead and have from now, right now, I have from now until next summer, all the music we're going to sing, I've signed it to a date. And then I do solos and ensembles. I mean, we have people who sing. They have to come. I like to hear them before I put them up. I don't know if you like to do that. It's always safe. But I do a rotation with the people who want to volunteer. And I talk to them about it. And I put them on a monthly rotation or however, you know, if we have 15, 20 people like to sing, then I rotate them off. And then I give them that sheet when the choir. We're right now on a 2 month break in our choir. We don't sing during the summer, a couple months off. But when they come back, I give them this is your rotation, so be prepared, you know, when you want to sing. And if there's a problem, make sure you contact me. And so I try to organize all that and put that together. Now you say, do you have an ensemble as well, or just a bell choir?
I've got a bell choir, and I've got a couple of quartets that are loosely playing, doing mm-hmm. together. I've got a men's gospel quartet that does a lot of a cappella, really straightforward stuff. And then a really nice thing about that is there's the guy that wants to do them all the time is willing to take charge and really make that happen.
One thing I think
is really interesting about a lot of the people who are musically talented in my church is you'll say, would you be interested in singing a solo or something? Mm-hmm. They say, great, what do you want me to sing?
Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't want to tell you what to sing.
Yeah, and I was like, wait a minute, I'm not asking you. I'd like you to be led to find this. Yeah, because they just kind of go. Now, we have wonderful places. I send mine to Mardell's. I don't know if you have the Mardell's. But they can go and actually listen to music or solo music and hear it on, if they, I kind of hone them in on, well, what kind of music do you like? Because, I mean, even their taste will be different, you know. Mm-hmm. But you're right. They kind of go, just leave me. And I'll do it for you. Well, another thing I do, I make sure of is, now with my quartets, I will admire quartets. I have a women's group who run about 18, and I have a mixed group that runs 12. And so I also do a weekend retreat with them, or a one-day retreat. And that really, really has helped. And then I have all their music, and we put folders together, and they have the music, and I have a CD, and I put all their music on CD, so they're listening to it. And we have a cram session an all-day Saturday, and I kind of minister, and we kind of talk about the calling of singing and, you know, the purpose of there. Because to me, our choir is here, and then as you get into these more specialty groups, you know, you have a little bit more accountability and to the ministry as well. And so we have a weekend retreat, and we go over all their music. And so it kind of gets us, it really has helped me to jumpstart the groups, and they sing once a month. So it kind of keeps them on track, and then we rehearse once a week as well with them. And then but my big thing, I don't know if you have a support group behind you, but I also have a team, a music team behind me. I have like a president of my choir, and I have a vice president. I actually have three vice presidents. We have one who's in charge of technology, and she runs we have screens, and she runs my screens. And then I have another one who is, we call the sunshine greeter. And when our choir comes in, we have, how do you do your music when they walk in?
There's a basket of folders, just to give it basket.
Yeah, so that's how we do it.
It's not the solution that I would like, but it's the solution
that
they have.
Well, we used to rehearse in the sanctuary, so we never, could rehearse in our rooms. Now we're kind of trying to set up the apartment, but I have these little rolling guards, and we have baskets on it, but I have two people who stand up, who come before choir, and then I have what's called a Worship Matters, and it kind of gives the order of what songs and the dates of what songs we're going to sing for the next four. Well, I work usually 4 weeks ahead. So in a choir rehearsal, I'm rehearsing 4 weeks ahead. And so they're going to hear that. So that I have it listed for them. I thought I was going to bring it, but I forgot to bring it. It's called Worship Matters. And it lists the songs we're going to do and the dates we're going to do them. And then on another column, I list the solos and who's what time they're singing. And then I like to introduce a couple of new praise songs or whatever. We're going to be doing something new to them as well. I'll have that. And then we do prayer requests. And so that's all kind of, and then they can take that home if we want to do anything special with that. We also have, and I brought for you, let you see it. We do, when we have new people come in to the choir, I know you've had that, you have them when they come in, and they don't know what to do. I have, that's what one of my officers are in charge of, greeting them, so I don't have to take time out of choir rehearsal. And it's a man, Billy meets them, hands them this and tells them welcome to choir. What I found was they might make their way to choir, but then they don't have a clue what else we do. You know, they gotta go, now what do we do? So he takes them and gets their music. And then we have sectional leaders, soprano, alto, tenor, and bass. And so he goes to that sectional leader and say, you know, he or she is the soprano or alto or whatever, and introduces them to that leader. And then that kind of partners them up so they don't feel like they're out just hanging loose, and then we'll have somebody to hang with, and they take care of them that way. But we kind of welcome them, tell them what our commitment is. I give a little statement there. We give our core values. You know, what do I do? Where do I go? We tell them about Wednesday rehearsals. You know, when you arrive at rehearsal, what to do. Sunday morning, because that's something we found out. They would leave us on Wednesday, and then they go, no, what do we do when we come? When do we go Sunday? So it kind of tells them, you know, that we meet in the choir room and then we all walk together. You know, how to join the worship choir. Questions you may have. You know, if they don't feel well like on a Sunday, you know, should they sit if they miss on a Wednesday night, or if there's work and they cannot come? Because I have some policemen and firemen and some nurses and things that can't come on Wednesday nights. Should they sit out the next Sunday? I go back and forth on that. Since I rehearse a strong four week ahead, that's not always the case that they have to miss, because most likely they're going to hear it at least three times or two times. If they miss more than one or two, yeah, they're not going to know it. But, you know, also if I give them something to listen to, if they're interested in solos and duets, I don't know, do you have a praise team or do you lead?
We're a congregationally led church, so for hymns we actually don't have anyone leading. And we are very traditional in our style. So we've got an organist who likes to play the organ. We kind of wanted to play the piano sometime when we're doing more modern hymns and stuff, but it's kind of hard to get her off the.
Is it a pipe organ?
Yeah, we have a pipe organ.
So you can't do a lot of different settings. It's going to be kind of the same.
Well, there are things there's you can do, but there's, I mean, and she will play the piano. It's just that you kind of have to urge her, and there's a bit of a language barrier. I think that she is Korean, and she speaks English fairly well, and she understands English even better than she speaks it, but there are times that she and I will be talking, and it's obvious that we're not having the same conversation.
Yeah.
And so.
Well, that could be true with even people who speak English.
Very, very true. And she does speak English. I'm not saying she doesn't speak English. It's just that the other thing that's been a challenge with her is that she's my accompanist for the choir, and when she can't see my mouth, we miss each other sometimes.
Yeah.
So I'll be talking to the choir, and I'll say, okay, let's start here. And she stands behind me, or she's just behind me, and every now and then there'll just be nothing. And so I'll be like, we missed each other. It's all to turn around and talk to her.
And it's hard to have her sit to your back.
Yes.
Yeah. That's one thing that we have to work on. I have to have a peripheral vision of where she is.
It would be nice if we could do it that way. But we rehearse the sanctuary, and there's not a whole lot of
movement around. Yeah. So that's very, very true. But we go through also accountability. What we would like from our people. And in my other sessions, I'm going to be talking a little bit about the difference between a committed choir and a volunteer choir. And I kind of really push that with my people a lot about that we sing for an audience of one, and how important it is that if they are committed, they don't, you know, they're not coming to choir rehearsal or to Sunday morning just because.